That's so funny.
Yeah. I was like a 3-month white belt when I met you back then.
Okay, right on.
What awesome. Are you now?
I'm a blue belt now.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah, that's outstanding.
You told me I could get on the mat next time when I was a blue belt, so I'm coming back to San Diego for sure.
Right on. Awesome. Awesome.
All good? Cool.
Do we have a time limit or anything? Or
I quoted 15, 30 minutes, so.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
All right. Welcome to the Price Law Podcast. We're in Dallas, Texas. We're at the Vitamin Shoppe Brand Summit, but I think what everyone wants to talk about, Jocko Willink. Thank you for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me out. Appreciate it.
You had an incredible speech this morning.
Oh, thank you.
So I used to work at Vitamin Shoppe, and I was asking myself, like, what does Jocko talk to health enthusiasts about? And I think you delivered just the right message. Thank you so much for your partnership with Vitamin Shoppe and everything you do for the industry. So we talk a lot about supplement science, and we talked with Brian Littlefield. We did like a 2-hour-long podcast. We exhausted that with him. but with you, we really want to talk about leadership in the industry and what you guys do.
Awesome.
So I don't think we really need to do too much of an introduction on who you are, but I love to open up with just asking you, like, you're not a dietitian, you're not a formulator. Like, how do you lead in sports nutrition? What are the tactics?
Yeah, so, I mean, luckily for me, you know, I grew up in the SEAL teams. And so I was very lucky that we were hiring people from the nutrition world to get us dialed in on nutrition. And that's where it kind of started out my fascination with making sure that I was getting the right fuel into my body. And luckily, you know, we evolved over the years. You know, when I first came in the early 90s, what we were doing for nutrition back then was definitely not, it was not correct, you know, and we evolved very rapidly and we were ahead of the power curve, I believe, in the SEAL teams. And so, yeah, I just was able to take that. And as I went into the nutrition space, try and keep focused on, like, what is actually going to make us perform well and keep us healthy. And so what does that look like for me? Well, that's what we do with our products and try and make sure that everything we make is as clean and effective as it can possibly be.
So episode 111 of our podcast, we had Brian on talking about formulation and everything. He's a founding partner with you, right?
Yep.
So you have a lot of business partnerships. How do you go about choosing a business partner? And how did you find Brian?
So Brian, the way we originally linked up, so we have a jiu-jitsu, what started as a jiu-jitsu gi, which is the uniform for jiu-jitsu, manufacturing company. Mm-hmm. And Brian was there. And he worked at Origin, and he was one of the primary guys and one of the first guys at Origin. So Origin actually had a small supplement brand. And Brian had come from a supplement background. He owned a supplement store. He owned a gym. So he had and he's a person that's obsessed with supplements. And so the opportunity, as we started talking, you know, him and our other business partner, Pete, said, you know, how would you feel about doing supplements? And at first I was a little bit hesitant. And the reason I was hesitant is because I had some bad experience with supplements. And I had supplements that I was giving my family. And unfortunately, there was an article that came out with one specific supplement that I was using a lot of and that I was feeding my kids. It was a protein. And I was giving it to my kids, especially my son. Like, when my son was four years old, 3 years old, 5 years old, that's what I fed him. Like, that was one of his primary nutritional resources. And it turns out Consumer Reports released an article that there was excessive heavy metals in this particular supplement. And so I was very disappointed and I was kind of shocked that they could sell something that could be that bad. And of course, you know, they said, well, it's if you're taking the recommended guidelines of what the supplement is, which is once a day, you're okay. And I'm like, well, what about if you're a 40-pound kid? And this is, you know, it's not like we bought it at a pharmacy. We bought it in the store. So I was very disappointed in that. That made me very, very suspicious of supplements and supplement brands. So luckily, Brian had that background. Where when I said to him, listen, I'm not going to make anything. The standard for me is I will have my kids take it all. And if we're going to make something, it has to be so clean and good for you that I will give it to my family, to my kids. And so that's exactly what. And Brian was like, listen, can we do it? Yes. Is it going to be more expensive? Yes, it is. And I said, okay, then it'll be more expensive. But that's the standard, is making it clean enough to give to my kids. And the one of the examples of that is the energy drink. So I didn't want to have chemical preservatives in it. And in order to do that, I'm sure Brian had told you the story, we had to find a manufacturer that had a pasteurization tunnel on their line, and it didn't exist. It didn't exist. So we had to wait an extra 9 months to get and convince a manufacturer to put a pasteurization tunnel on their line so that we didn't have to add the chemical preservatives. And that's what we do with all of our products. What is the best possible way that we can make this?
One of my favorite things about what you guys do is just all the way down to it be even noted that you don't really drink coffee on this newest RTD. Like, it's so authentic. You started with teas, right? You guys use krill oil, where a lot of people are using fish oils, because it is all like authentic to who you are and what you do. That's really commendable. It would be really easy to find something that's cheap, private label, just throw it in a bottle, put some awesome graphics on it like you guys do, and sell a shit ton of it because it's got Jocko's name on it. But you guys do stuff that is authentic to who you are.
Yeah, and so the only caveat to that is I remember the first time we made a product that I'm like, well, I don't really think I'm going to take that because I don't really like it. And you know what it was? It was vanilla protein. It was vanilla milk. And I was like, look, I don't really like vanilla that much. So I had to say to myself, well, okay, but there's other people out there in the world that want that and use that. And that's what we've done now. Now we have products that we make because I know that people that trust that I'm going to make a good product, they want something that it might not be something that I particularly use, but I know that we can make the best version of it. And so that's what we're doing. And even like we've been making krill oil for a long time, but there's a high demand signal for fish oil. And so we're coming out with fish oil. Why? Because people want fish oil. They want it to be clean. So we are expanding. We have expanded now beyond just things that I take.
Has that been a transition for you? I mean, we're coming from a personal brand to like a worldwide brand. That's got to be a transition to making out products that aren't just Jocko's personal cabinet.
Yeah. And again, what makes it work for me is that the standard is still the same. We're still making the absolute highest quality that we can possibly make, and there's a high demand signal for what we're making, and as long as we maintain that standard, I'm completely on board.
Right. We talk about the drinks, everything, even if you're not going to have the vanilla protein, it's still not going to have, for instance, an artificial sweetener. That's a big thing we talked about on that podcast. And so you can maintain the same rigor without having to bend or anything. So you know you're going to get the same thing. That's what we love about it. You are kind of putting, like, you put Brian Life on hard mode in a way, but you also have the Jocko cheat code where you could just have people go and clear the stores. So it kind of evens out from my perspective. But
yeah, and Brian was... You know, he had to work really hard. It is very difficult. I've given Brian some really difficult tasks as far as the ingredients that we're adding and then the taste profiles, because that's another thing. I don't want to sound like a wimp here, but if something tastes like junk, I'm not going to drink it and people aren't going to drink it. Mm-hmm. So you have to make things that taste good. And obviously, when you put certain ingredients in, it's hard to cover up those ingredients and make them taste good. And we definitely went through some challenges with that. I don't know if you guys, do you guys remember the first version of our energy drink at all?
Yes. Yeah. The second version of your drinks is the reason I'm friends with Brian, because the second they came out and they were so good, I had to do videos about how well you guys have done this. I don't want to tell you that your first drinks were bad, but you've had quite an evolution.
No, the first drinks, you can say, they didn't taste good. Now, what's weird is they tasted good to me because... We had some monk fruit in there, and that was enough sweetener to me because I don't drink a lot of sugar, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, I was like, oh, this tastes great. But for normal people, it didn't taste good. And that's another evolution that we made was I realized I should not be the person that's guiding the flavor. It shouldn't be actually any one single person. You have to get a bunch of people and a bunch of different opinions to hone a flavor to where it universally tastes good. And that's certainly a lesson that we learned. And I'm glad we learned it. And even once we knew that, it was still very difficult. And we still evolve our flavors. We evolve our flavors all the time. We're constantly trying to see what we can do to make them taste even better. Right now, I mean, we've gotten to a point where we, just through the experience, and understanding, we know what tastes good, and we've got a much larger sample pool of human beings now to make sure that we're putting stuff out there that tastes good to everyone and not just to me.
And to your credit, you just won the Vitamin Shoppe's Greens Award, so yeah. Congratulations on that. And obviously, no sucralose in there, and you're still making it taste great, so I think you're on the right path. How do you pick people to be part of that, like, diverse crew of...
So there's various components that we want to have. We want to have people that use Jocko products, which is our core people. And so we have a whole test group within there. But then we have people that are outside of Jocko specific users that are product users. And then we have people that aren't going to use a specific product at all. But how does this taste to you? So we really try and get the biggest variety of testers to make sure that we make something that tastes good. Because, again, you can make something that's a great product as far as its effectiveness, but if it tastes like junk, you're only going to have a few people that are going to use it on a regular basis. I want to make products that people enjoy using. You've probably heard me say it. You know, our protein shakes, that's dessert to me. That's how good they taste to me. They're dessert, and that's a challenge to make happen, but we figured it out.
One thing I have to commend you guys for is you're data-driven, like, on every single aspect, you know, like, from the labels to the products. You guys, in sports nutrition, it's very popular to just hire the last sales director that left the last company, and it all stays within this industry. We kind of call it incestuous, to be honest with you, because it's just the same people. I love that your brand has very qualified individuals, the best consultants or advisors. You guys use focus groups for your graphics, for your videos, for your flavors. You guys bring the best of the best together. I love that most of them still have cauliflower ear, but however, they all, like, really are the people for the job. You hire the right people and you let them do their job, and you guys have blinders on to the rest of the industry. We went to Industry Maine. You guys own the whole town up there, and, like, you're like,
in another planet over there.
It's like, you're, like, far away from, like, the Southern Florida, Jersey, like, mm-hmm. dietary supplement people. You're off in your own little town doing, like, what works for you guys and really changing things.
Yeah, and I think we always need to keep an open mind. And, look, you can't just ignore the lessons of the rest of the industry, but you can't use them specifically and unilaterally to make your decisions. Because if we did that, we wouldn't be doing anything that we're doing right now. And quite frankly, if we did that, we wouldn't have kind of started some of these categories. You know, we've got categories that other people are entering right now that there weren't people in before. I mean, our energy drink, the way we're making our protein, the way we're sweetening our things all naturally, like, those are things that were not normal. And so we pay attention to what's happening in the industry. We know that there's experts. We talk to those experts. But we also keep an open mind about where we can go, what we can do different, and where we can improve.
Yeah, you guys have really, like, keyed in on what your key pillars are, and you're just busting down doors there. One of the things that I've loved that you talked about in your podcast is, like, the war and the battle that goes on in, like, distribution, which is something that's not talked about very often, like fighting for your placement on shelves. You guys, with a naturally sweetened energy drink, have gotten incredible placement across, like, the United States, with Wawa, HEB, wherever it is. You've fought very hard for it, and it's awesome to see the success that you guys have had.
Yeah, and I think that really speaks to what people want. What do people want? Do they want the energy boost that you get from an energy drink? Yeah, they certainly want that. Do they want the negative health aspects of that? No, they don't want that. Do they want to crash? No, they don't want that. So we put a product out there that really, truly helps people. And, of course, when you put something out there that really helps people, there's going to be a high demand signal for it. So it's really a thanks to the customers that are committed and that have that desire and keep that demand signal up and come into the stores and buy stuff. If it wasn't, look, you can pay money for placement. You can, you know, build relationships with the store owners to get into those places. And that's good. But if you don't have customers and you don't have a product that actually gives the customers what they want, all that stuff is going to be short-lived. And so I think we've found a good position where we're actually making something that people really want. And then the store owners they're out there and the distributors, they recognize that. And so now we've got support from both sides, and it's a great place to be. We're super appreciative.
Well, yeah, and we'd like to thank you for making everyone look better in our industry too. Like they say, a rising tide lifts all ships. I feel like brands like your own are pulling the tide up for us a lot as well. One thing I'd like to talk to some of the people at your company about is coming to Washington, D.C. with us to kind of talk about some of the regulatory challenges that we're facing. I don't want to get like too political here or anything, but there are a few attacks at the state levels. There's some attacks coming at the Senate level, and we'd like the good brands to be recognized, and that some of the bad ones, we need some enforcement on to smash the bad brands that are making all of us look bad. But I'd like to say thank you for making us look good too.
Yeah, appreciate it. And certainly we're tracking what's going on with some of these new laws that are being proposed and in some cases being implemented. It's definitely not good to see this happening. And it's a situation where you've got some government officials and some lobbyists that are pushing for something that clearly they don't understand.
Right.
I mean, they just, when you read through the proposals in these laws, they truly make no sense whatsoever. So, but I don't think there's people, I don't think we as citizens expect the government to be able to truly understand everything, and they certainly don't. And this is just another one of those cases. So hopefully we're trying to get engaged. We're trying to do participate in that to make sure that healthy products are still available to people that want healthy products.
Amen.
That's what this is. So we're going to do our best to support those efforts.
I love that you started off by talking about giving protein to your kids at 4 years old, because I was thinking it. Bringing up politics sometimes on podcasts isn't you know great for everyone, but I mean, you said it yourself. I mean, these are nutrients that people need and they deserve, and it's our right to be able to fuel ourselves the way that we want to.
No doubt about it.
So I have a question to give you a moment to shamelessly plug. What's a day in the life of Jocko look like through dietary supplements? How do you feel for your workouts, your podcasts? Give us the whole stack.
Yeah. So I wake up in the morning. And in the morning, we have a product called Time War. I take that every morning, and it's just an outstanding product.
Empty stomach. Cool.
I also take our Joint Warfare in the morning, and I take krill oil in the morning. So I do that every morning, and that's why I made those products. Those are the products, like, I made those for me. So then I get done with that. I go work out. Now, this is another product that I have, where I was a little bit hesitant. So pre-workout, I've never been a big pre-workout guy. And yet there was a huge demand signal for a good, clean pre-workout that wasn't like we wanted to make a good, clean one. And so we made a pre-workout. Now, once we made it, I said to myself, all right, you know, I've got to like try this stuff out. And I realized there's a place in the world, even for someone like me. So I might take pre-workout, maybe one workout out of every 2 weeks, but you know, maybe I didn't get much sleep, maybe I'm tired, maybe I'm groggy, maybe I'm sore, whatever the case may be, and there you go. So I will occasionally take pre-workout, but again, that's pretty seldom, maybe once every 2 weeks, and maybe it's, you know, maybe it's leg day and I'm tired.
Yep.
You know, or maybe I've been on the road and I'm tired and I'm dragging, so I want to get in there and kind of kick ass a little bit, so I'll occasionally do the pre-workout, but other than that, that's what I roll into the gym. I get in there, work out, lift, run. If there's good waves, hopefully I go surfing. I get done with that. Now it's time for me to work. And now it's, you know, around 10 o'clock in the morning, I will usually have like you asked about food too, right?
Yeah, give it to me. Yeah.
So yeah, so I usually will have some kind of snack. So I always have mixed nuts. So I'll have like a cup full of mixed nuts. And maybe I'll have like some jerky or a beef stick or something along those lines. And that's going to kind of keep me going. And then usually if I'm working with a client or I have to present to somebody, I'll usually have a go. And then, you know, if I'm recording a podcast that day, that's another thing. Like I'll have a go during the podcast. We have a new product called Brain Power, which is a fantastic nootropic. Have you tried it yet?
It fueled my Arnold.
It
weekend.
Is. It is. It's good to go. It is really good. It's like a really crisp focus. I can feel it. And so if I've got to get on stage, like this morning I presented here, I did like, what, 15 minutes? But I got 2 hours of sleep, or I got 3.5 hours of sleep last night. So before that, I took Brain Power. So something like that will lead me to take some Brain Power if I know I've got to get up and do something that's cognitively, that there's cognitive requirements to. Get done with that. Now, sometime around lunchtime, I'll probably have a protein shake. So in the wintertime when it's cold out, I make hot chocolate milk, which is delicious. I make, actually my wife usually makes, we make whipped cream with just heavy whipping cream and monk fruit. So it tastes great. I add that to my hot chocolate milk. If it's the summertime or it's warmer out, then I just have, you know, cold chocolate milk. I usually have peanut butter or mint. Those are my two kind of back and forth flavors. If I'm feeling a little bit more creative, I'll have strawberry, which is also delicious. So then I usually have one of those around lunchtime, and then get done with that, work more, whatever I'm doing, writing, thinking, talking, whatever. And then in the evening, I do jiu-jitsu usually. So around 4 o'clock, I'm heading to the jiu-jitsu gym and I'm going to train jiu-jitsu. Get done with that, usually dripping with sweat. Have a hydrate just to replenish. Get home. Sauna. I have a sauna. Take a sauna if I'm going to try and get some sleep. I like to sauna. And then I eat. I might have a milk there too, depending on how much food I'm going to eat. And then I eat. I'm very simplistic eater. I eat steak, chicken, and salad pretty much. That's it. And then before I go to bed at night, I have another hit of Super Krill and another hit of Joint Warfare. And that's what I do. Vitamin D as well.
One suggestion for that, you have a new magnesium I'm going to plug for you. Yeah. Take that before bed, and that might help you a little bit.
Yeah,
too.
So we just came out with the magnesium, and that's, again, the reason there's a huge demand signal for it. And so I haven't been on magnesium consistently, so we'll see what's up with magnesium now.
Awesome.
You take any caffeine before jiu-jitsu frequently? Like, is that kind of a thing for you?
So caffeine before jiu-jitsu. On Saturdays and Sundays, I usually train at around 10 o'clock in the morning, and so I will drink a go on the way to train, and it's a perfect timing. I crack the go as I get in my car. By the time I show up, I'm done with it, and I'm starting to feel it as I get on the mat. During the week, since I train at night, I usually don't take caffeine before I do jiu-jitsu at night during the week, because I don't want to have that when I come home at 7 or 8 o'clock at night.
The thing I love about your goes is it's low caffeine. It's not too much, so it doesn't get your heart rate too high for rolling.
Yeah,
like that.
If there's plenty of people that if you take too much caffeine before jiu-jitsu, it's not beneficial. It's a perfect pre-jiu-jitsu or anything where you don't want to be super amped up, but you have to perform. So, yeah, a go before jiu-jitsu. Like for me on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, we have open mat on Sunday at 10 o'clock. And then on Saturday, my training partners, we come in and train at 10 o'clock. So it's a perfect little go before you get in there.
Love it. Well,
perfect.
I think we got to wrap up. All these health enthusiasts coming out, I think they kind of probably want to take pictures with you. So thank you so much for your time. Really
appreciate
everything
you
do.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate being on here. And thanks for what you guys do.